online, I have Gary Arnold from Access Living. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Beautiful, beautiful. So I just kind of read a little preview about bottom dollars. Kind of give us a little, you're Gary Arnold. This is Gary Arnold from Access Living in Chicago on Clark in Chicago, and that's 115 West Chicago Avenue. So, Gary, kind of give us a little overview about this movie, what brought it out about, and kind of give us your take on it.
Sure. First of all, thank you very much for inviting me onto the program, inviting Access Living onto the program, and for talking about this documentary. Bottom Dollars is a documentary created and produced by an organization called Rooted in Rights, and they use video and documentaries as an advocacy tool to raise awareness about and advocate for issues that impact people with disabilities. One thing I'm familiar with that they've done in the past is they did work on the issue of curb cuts and physical accessibility in urban centers. And so curb cuts, most people are probably aware of what those are, but those are the kind of cutouts in curbs at intersections that allow people in wheelchairs as well as all sorts of other type of pedestrians access intersections more easily and cross the streets. So now they've created this video documentary called Bottom Dollars, which is all about the issue of sheltered workshops and sub-minimum wage for people with disabilities. For generations, people, it's been there's been a legal avenue to pay people with disabilities wages that are far below minimum wage and oftentimes actually entities that are contracted by the federal government are subsidized in order to do this. It all goes back to a law called the Fair Labor Standards Act, which I'm not sure exactly what the year was, but it was many, many decades ago that it was created. And the original intent, like a lot of things for people with disabilities, the intent of it was maybe in the right place. The idea was that these sheltered workshops would be training grounds for people with disabilities. And it would be just kind of a temporary situation where people would go learn some skills in these sheltered workshops, earn a little bit of money while not, a living wage or even minimum wage, earn a little bit of money, but then be prepared for what we refer to in the disability community as integrated employment. So that's, kind of mainstream employment, working alongside non-disabled people in the workforce. But what happened, I think a similar thing happened with the idea of institutions for people with disabilities, where it just became the norm. And rather than the workshops being a transition spot for people in a training ground, it became permanent placement for people with disabilities, and so they would spend their lives or their careers there. And if you're making sub-minimum wage, then you don't really have a chance of living independently, paying your own rent and paying for other expenses. So you're never really able to achieve that independence. They've been in existence for a long, long time now, and it's been a struggle to transition people out of the sheltered workshops, and which pay the sub-minimum wage. Several years ago, there was federal legislation introduced called the Fair Wages for Workers with Disabilities Act. I think that was in 2012 or 2013. And that would have eliminated sheltered workshops nationally. And I think it was the National Federation for the Blind, a national organization for people who are blind or low vision, that really kind of led the efforts on that. And as a part of that effort, they launched this campaign against Goodwill, which ran sheltered workshops around the country and paid subminimum wage to workers who worked in their stores with disabilities. And the reason, one of the reasons that like Goodwill was targeted was just because the disparity between what their executives were earning versus what the people with disabilities working in their stores were earning was just so massive. And so there was this campaign against Goodwill. From what I know, I'm not sure what the fate of the Fair Wages for Workers with Disabilities Act was, but what did happen...
I heard it got introduced again about a month ago. That the past year or two, they've been calling it the Time, T-I-M-E Act.
I think it's good.
But yeah. It has been reintroduced again, so continue.
Okay, well, I was going to kind of shift, you know, kind of similar in intent with a broader scope, though, looking at employment of people with disabilities. We have what's called the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act, it used to be just called the Workforce Innovation Act. I think they added the Opportunities Act the last time it was reintroduced, and that was passed in 2014, and in 2016. I think the standards and the regulations for it were actually passed, and it started to be implemented and enforced. And there's a piece of that bill that looks at sheltered workshops and subminimum wage, and there was a lot of debate and advocacy within the disability community as the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act was moving through Congress, because how it addresses a subminimum wage and sheltered workshops, it says that if you are it kind of allows a provision for that were their intent is that they will be phased out over the next decades or generations. And what it says is that if you are younger than the age of 24, before you can go into a sheltered workshop, you have to go through a training program, and through that training program, it needs to be determined that the sheltered workshop is like the only option. There's no other possible employment option, and it grandfathers in people who are older than 24 years old. So I think the idea is that slowly, as younger people with disabilities enter the working age, fewer of them, because of this new law, will be going into sheltered workshops, and instead will be getting integrated employment opportunities and training opportunities. So I think it's still like all national laws, it takes a while for the states to pick up on them. But you do see some changes in Illinois, where typical agencies or traditional agencies that had sheltered workshops now are trying to phase them out and are kind of doing these new training programs for people with disabilities. So we're seeing some movement. I know there was a lot of the disability community that really was even against that provision of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act. They just wanted to see sheltered workshops eliminated altogether, because there's always the fear that, even if it's a small window, if there's any kind of support of their existence, it'll be hard to phase them out. So we're not really sure what will happen as we roll on and as this law is being enforced and introduced. But it does look like agencies are aware of it, and they're trying to make changes as a result of it. But the fact is that employment is still a very significant issue, and in some cases, it is still legal to pay people with disabilities sub-minimum wage. And I think it was a result of that in Chicago, when the minimum wage ordinance was introduced a year or two ago, the final ordinance that was passed, people with disabilities were exempt from that because of laws that are on the books that say it's legal to pay people with disabilities sub-minimum wage. And so as a result, we still have, that's still a reality for people. And as long as that's a reality, then it's going to be harder for some people with disabilities to be independent, to secure competitive employment, to secure integrated employment. And I think that's, what this documentary, Bottom Dollars, is looking at, the continued existence of these sheltered workshops, what it means for people with disabilities and what it may look like in the future, and kind of the work trying to phase them out. Because I think that's the intent of the documentary, is for the disability community to be able to use it as a tool to raise awareness for it and to really continue that effort to phase out sub-minimum wage and sheltered workshops.
Ah, that's excellent. And I noticed, told people that they can find it, the screening at the what used to be the Biograph, now it's the Victory Gardens. Now it's at 7 o'clock, and the doors open a little before 7. Are you expecting a large turnout there this Wednesday?
We're hoping for it. You're helping us by putting it on the air. We really appreciate that.
Sure.
So we're doing our marketing. So we're hoping for a great turnout, because we're after the screening, we're going to have a conversation about it. There'll be some people in the audience who have worked on this issue. There's going to be someone in the audience who actually has been in a sheltered workshop, and he can share his experience and his perspective on why sheltered workshops aren't really a door to employment, but rather they're kind of a dead end. And then we'll have a reporter there from the Chicago Reporter who did a story earlier this year about the minimum wage ordinance, and because she'll kind of share her perspective on what implementation of that has looked like in Chicago, and share from her investigation what she learned about why people with disabilities in some cases were exempt from that. So in addition to the screening, we're going to have a great discussion also, and it looks like we've got a lot of interest, so we're hoping to have a full house.
Yeah, and a lot of times I've heard that a lot of these jobs that these sheltered workshops create, generally when you're turned loose in the general the workforce, a lot of those skills really don't amount to much. I know I worked at a place several years ago, and it was kind of like a rigged up call center environment. I'm sure that the work was legitimate, but the types of work that you do, usually it's hard to translate that over into an actual real work environment.
Yeah, and that's a great point, and that really kind of counters what the original intent of them was, which was a training ground. But as you're saying, you know, from your experience, the work that you were assigned to do wasn't really preparation of any
kind
for the mainstream workforce. And in my experience, the one of the people who we are planning to have in the audience, when I was talking to him about his experience with Sheltered Workshop, I mean, he's a person with a disability who uses a wheelchair, who has more limited mobility and dexterity. But then he was given this assignment to do in the Sheltered Workshop that really called for really fine-tuned motor skills and dexterity. And so then you also, that's an example of this disconnect between the jobs that people are given compared to what their skills may be. And again, I think that speaks to the fact that it's not a training ground, because if it was a training ground, you would really get to know the person and what their skills are and what their capabilities are, and then build off of those rather than giving an assignment that, you know, runs completely counter to those skills and capabilities.
Yeah, it's like that one agency, they think that, let's get into the call center business, and they create all these call center jobs. Well, they've got them so highly regimented that if you don't breathe properly, you're out the door. They don't get it. It's more like and I'm kind of getting a little radical here, but it's kind of like they're just looking for, people that probably may or may not, probably don't know their rights, and maybe they just think that's all they're expected, like low expectations. And on the other side, they prey on people so they can try to turn a dollar, make a buck?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if you look when I mentioned goodwill before, and that extreme gap between what the Sheltered Workshop employees or the employees are getting versus the executives, and they're getting paid by the government for these contracts.
Yeah,
it is a moneymaker, and I think something else you said really resonated which I think is a problem that we see, and that's why it's really hard for some agencies to transition away from the Sheltered Workshop, is it's just become the expectation that, because they've been around for so long, that it's, people have the expectation, well, this is what you do if you're someone with a disability. You're not going to enter the competitive or the integrated workforce. You're going to go to a Sheltered Workshop because you don't have the capabilities or the skills to do otherwise. And that's just because that's what people have been trained to think, maybe both inside as well as outside of the disability community. So it's about as much about changing that mentality than it is about changing the actual system.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as the call center or the low-skilled IT job has replaced the broom factory or caning chairs or thumbtacks and thimble. It's kind of like in the blind community. That's what they used to have us do back in the day, and probably still now, like sorting hangers or, I call it like putting, like in a generality, in a general way, I call it like nuts and bolts assembly or thumbtacks and thimbles. Now they've got them, like copying and pasting numbers into databases, or, it's still the same thing. It's like I was put on Earth to go as in the direction I want, bachelor's degree, master's degree, JD, PhD, the real world, not sitting here copying and pasting numbers into a, you know, it's like they, and you're, yeah, they just don't think of it. And sometimes they tell, like, blind people and disabled people, that's all you can do.
Right.
Which is really sad, you know, because it's right. a waste of human capital.
Right.
You yeah. know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I mentioned institutions before, and I don't want to change the yeah. subject, but I think we can draw parallels to that. Just traditionally, you know, people were shipped to institutions, and
yeah,
that became
were.
The expectation. And so now there's the belief that people can't live independently outside of institution. They need too much support or care that can't be given in the community. And so I think there's a lot of parallels between the institutionalization of people with disabilities
right.
and sheltered workshops and sub-minimum wage for people with disabilities.
Right. And so, once again, this movie, do you want to kind of tell us, give us some contact information or just a like a brief from about Access Living, how people might be able to get information about Access Living.
Absolutely.
You know, like what kind of a, you know, where they can find Access Living and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So Access Living, we're what's called a Center for Independent Living. There are centers like that around Illinois and around the country, and our job is to provide resources and support and guidance for people with disabilities in order to live independently in the community. And we also do advocacy to help people navigate barriers to independence. And our offices are in River North at Chicago between LaSalle and Clark Street on Chicago Avenue. And you know, we're the ones hosting this screening on Wednesday night at Victory Gardens Theater. So if you'd like information about the Bottom Dollar screening, or if you'd like information about Access Living, you can give us a call. Our main line is 312-640-2100, or you can find all our contact information online at www.accessliving.org, or you can shoot an email to my address, which is garnold@accessliving.org.
Well, thank you very much, Gary Arnold. I'll talk to you briefly off air. And this has been Gary Arnold, spokesperson for Access Living. And once again, the movie documentary will be this Wednesday night,